I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story. Red-eyed, Gladys Berejiklian entered the room and dropped a bombshell.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to make a public statement and won't be taking any questions. I've had to make an extremely difficult decision overnight, but one which I feel obliged to do.
On Friday, the New South Wales Premier announced that she is stepping down from her role and will leave Parliament altogether.
My resignation will take effect as soon as the New South Wales Liberal Party can elect a new parliamentary leader.
This came after the Independent Commission Against Corruption, or ICAC, announced it's investigating her conduct and whether she broke the law by failing to report the conduct of her ex-lover, the former Wagga Wagga MP, Darryl Maguire. The Premier maintains she's done nothing wrong.
I want to be very clear. In all the decisions I have ever made as a minister or as Premier of New South Wales, my first consideration has always been the well-being and welfare of the people of this state. I state categorically I've always acted with the highest level of integrity. History will demonstrate that I've always executed my duties, again, with the highest level of integrity for the benefit of the people of New South Wales who I have had the privilege to serve.
But says that she was left with no option but to step aside.
Resigning at this time is against every instinct in my being and something which I do not want to do. I love my job and I love serving the community, but I have been given no option following the statement that's been issued today.
To help you understand how this all started, today we're replaying a Full Story episode from last year, which explains why the Premier was first brought before the New South Wales ICAC in October 2020 and what those hearings revealed about her relationship with Darryl Maguire. Today, ICAC brings down another New South Wales Premier. It's Friday, the 1st of October. This episode begins with the Premier's appearance before ICAC on the 12th of October 2020, as relayed by Guardian reporter Christopher Norse.
I'll remind you, there's a glass in
the... Oh, no, that's okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Can you set the scene for us?
This is volume 16, page 66.
So Gladys Berejiklian, the New South Wales Premier, is sitting in the witness box at ICAC being questioned by the Council Assistant Inquiry, Scott Robertson.
During the course of the call, you gave a description of Mr. Maguire.
They're asking her about the former New South Wales Liberal politician, Darryl Maguire.
You described Mr. Maguire, you said words to the following effect, you will always be my numero uno. Remember hearing that on the call that I played you on the
phone? I do remember, yep.
What did you mean by him always being your numero uno?
I think what I would have meant that there is that in my personal life I placed importance on how I felt about him.
And she tells the commission that her and Maguire were engaged in a very close personal relationship.
Sorry, would you mind putting it to me again?
So you agree that as at the 1st of August 2017, you had a desire, and as you understood it, Mr. Maguire had a desire, that Mr. Maguire would retire from Parliament as at the 2019 election and you'd thereafter have a public relationship?
That would have been my understanding at the time.
That was your own desire or preference, that, correct?
Correct.
And that was your understanding of Mr. Maguire's position, correct?
Well, at the time.
At the time.
At the time. I can't account for that now, given what's occurred.
You have second thoughts now in light of...
Well, beyond second thoughts, because clearly, matters have come to my attention. I didn't know then.
Why is that a big deal?
Well, to kind of understand that, you need to know a little bit more about who Darryl Maguire is. Mm. So Darryl Maguire came to Parliament, New South Wales Parliament, in 1999. He was the MP for Wagga Wagga. For all intents and purposes, for most people who are not really closely engaged with New South Wales politics, he wasn't really someone you'd know. He was kind of a New South Wales politician who largely kind of stayed in the background, didn't really come to any national prominence. But that all changed in 2018 when Maguire was suddenly thrust into scandal. He was named in an earlier ICAC inquiry that was looking into some goings-on at the Canterbury City Council.
What was this scandal that he was involved in way back when?
In this case, IACAC was looking at some improper conduct that was going on at Canterbury City Council. So it was looking at whether officials there were misusing their public office for private gain. Now, Maguire's name came into it because there was some evidence that emerged showing that while he was a sitting MP and also while he was a parliamentary secretary, he was effectively trying to broker a property deal between a Chinese developer and some people who were in Canterbury City Council who were looking to sell some land that they'd acquired to develop units. So what you've got to keep in mind here is that he's a sitting MP and behind the scenes, you know, he's wheeling and dealing, trying to broker these property deals for personal gain, so for money for himself. I don't need to tell you that that's a big no-no.
It's taken over a week, but disgraced Liberal MP Darryl Maguire is finally falling on his sword.
So when that emerged, you know, it really kind of threw his career into turmoil. He quit the Liberal Party, tried to stay on as a crossbencher, but then eventually, you know, within a month of this evidence, he was gone. He was out of New South Wales Parliament.
Embroiled in a corruption scandal, he's told the Premier he'll resign before Parliament returns after trying to cling to his seat and taxpayer salary.
Okay, so Darryl Maguire resigns, you know, 2 years ago now. And now he's at the centre of another IACAC hearing. Is that right?
Yes. And it's quite remarkable, really. I mean, this scandal had sort of subsided. It had gone away. Certainly, well, I hadn't had any cause to think about it. I don't think most people had. But then about a month ago, IACAC announced that it was about to hold another public inquiry into Maguire, and it was going to be exploring more detail of the way that he was behaving in public office.
Is it right to say that you were in a close personal relationship with Mr. Maguire from at least about the time of the 2015 election?
Or slightly after, thereabouts.
Are you still in a close personal relationship with Mr. Maguire? And I'm sorry to have to ask this, but approximately when did you cease to be in a close personal relationship with Mr. Maguire?
Well, obviously, a few months ago when I was asked to support this inquiry, it became apparent to me that I should have absolutely no contact anymore with that individual, and I ceased all contact.
Okay, so the Premier is called in to give evidence on Monday. She reveals that in the past she had been in a close personal relationship with Darryl Maguire. What else was she asked about?
So throughout the day, the Commission hears a lot of evidence, including sort of correspondence between Darryl Maguire and Gladys Berejiklian in 2017. So that's while Maguire is still in Parliament.
But for anything other than property and rates and things like that?
Yeah.
Which are all tax deductible?
That's handy. That's good. It means you've simplified everything as well.
Tax effective.
Yeah.
Pretty early on in her evidence, it becomes apparent that a lot of her phone calls with Darryl Maguire have been secretly recorded by IACAC investigators. You know, whenever the IACAC has a secret recording of you, it's probably going to end in tears.
You're not alone,
are you? I'm getting a big tax return, I'm told, so I'm very happy about that.
No, well, that's good. You won't be saying you're poor then for maybe a week, and then you'll start saying it again.
No, well, I am poor. I'm telling you, 1.59 million poor.
We start to hear revelations about what the Premier knew about Darryl Maguire's financial situation. We hear Maguire telling Gladys Berejiklian that he's in about $1.5 million of debt.
Just repeat after me, 1.5 million.
I'm not going to say any such thing.
No, it's just repeat it. It's right. So I'm going to solve that problem now, which I'm working on.
So this is another telephone call on the same day. We're now at about 10:04 p.m. In the face of at least the last two calls I've played to you, I take it you accept that you're aware, as at September of 2017, of at least in general terms Mr. Maguire's debt position.
No, absolutely, but you can also tell from my tone that I am chiding him for always obsessing about this, yeah.
And so the next bit of evidence that kind of caused a bit of shock in the room was that the Premier has asked, you know, how much she knew about a deal that Darryl Maguire had involved himself in.
Yeah, I've been doing my books, my accounts.
Yep.
Maguire tells Berejiklian...
Counting my tax refund.
Good.
He potentially stands to make quite a bit of money. So he says to her...
It's true. And the good news is William tells me we've done our deal.
The money that he's going to make is probably enough to pay off about half of his $1.5 million personal debt. And Berejiklian's response, I think, is really interesting. So she says...
I don't need to know about that bit.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You do not.
I don't need to know about that bit.
So anyway, it's all good news. So we're moving ahead.
Okay, good.
Again, does this assist in your recollection in relation to this issue?
Okay, so what is this controversial deal?
So it's all tied to a block of land near the proposed Western Sydney Airport, so out at Batcheries Creek. This is a really important bit of land for the New South Wales government and for the federal government trying to build this massive new airport out there. Lots of development, lots of opportunity, I guess, for landowners. This particular plot of land is owned by the Racing Air Louise Radler Waterhouse, and she is trying to sell the land. So this is where Darryl Maguire comes in. So she has a problem in that the zoning laws aren't particularly favourable to her being able to sell it. It doesn't allow for residential development. So her land isn't particularly attractive to buyers.
Mm.
But behind the scenes, Darryl Maguire is doing what the ICAC described as greasing the wheels.
But, you know, I need a road. I need an access. Give me an access. I'll develop it myself. I don't need you.
He is trying to put pressure on New South Wales government officials to basically help Louise Waterhouse out by making it easier for her to rezone her land by connecting it with a road.
And they're resisting. She said, I've been 2 years trying to get this road on. She said, and they just won't do anything. And I said, okay. So I got roads. I got Jock to come down and I got one bloke from your place there, got him put the heads together and said, look, why can't you fix this?
And he's also doing things like introducing Louise Waterhouse to potential buyers, most notable of which is Country Gardens, a massive Chinese property development firm.
Honestly, I just, you know, nobody wants to do anything.
And did Darryl Maguire stand to benefit from all of this?
Yes, big time, big time. So the ICAC heard that Maguire was likely entitled to a 10% fee, I guess, for his efforts in trying to broker this deal if it went through. So if this deal went through, he could have earned at least $690,000. So that's a huge, huge sum of money and would obviously go a considerable way in resolving some of his debt problems.
Okay, and was this breaking any codes of conduct or even any laws, this type of behaviour?
Well, that's something that ICAC is still exploring.
Okay, so how much did the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, know about this?
She was pressed on this by the Council Assisting Scott Robertson.
Didn't you, on more than one occasion, seek to discourage Mr. Maguire from giving you details of his outside interests with a view to you not being fixed with knowledge that might require you to do something and exercise your public
never
duties?
Can I say I would never, ever, never, ever turn a blind eye from any responsibility I had to disclose any wrongdoing that I saw or any activity that I thought was not in keeping with what a Member of Parliament should be doing. And I want to make that very clear, Mr. Robertson.
Did we hear anything else about Berejiklian and this deal?
So she was very careful to say, look, if I had had any idea of what Maguire was up to, I would have reported it. You know, if I'd had any inkling that he was engaged in wrongdoing, I would have reported it.
Mm.
You know, she says, If I did regard anything as a concern, I would have reported it or dealt with it, and I want to make that very clear. So she's trying to present herself as, you know, a premier who is very careful to stay within the rules, who is very, you know, kind of diligent in discharging all of her sort of public duties, including disclosing interests or wrongdoing that need to be disclosed. And that's kind of the image that she's trying to portray during this inquiry hearing.
Okay, and does that hold up? Do we hear anything else about Berejiklian and her knowledge of this deal?
So one of the other things we heard was through another intercepted phone call in which Maguire asked Berejiklian,
Did you get an email from Louise Waterhouse?
No.
You will. She'll send you an email. She's really pissed off now about the airport.
Mm. The things that she wants in terms of the treatment of her land, the government's treatment of her land in terms of zoning and roads are not happening. She's angry about it.
And so she is planning to directly email the Premier of the state.
That's right.
About that.
That's right, yeah.
So that's some extraordinary access right there.
Yeah, look, not many people get that opportunity, I'd wager. And even, you know, the Premier herself in her evidence said that email from Louise Waterhouse was irregular. She said she didn't do anything with it. Mm. She didn't consider it appropriate. So she was asked, you know, whether she had given it, in quotes, a
tickle from the top.
Oh, yes, I read about that.
Did you give any of those emails a tickle from the top?
Which was the words that Maguire used to describe what Berejiklian might be able to offer. And Berejiklian said,
absolutely not.
We'll just take a 30-minute luncheon break, Ms. Berejiklian.
Lovely, thank you.
Next, the fate of the New South Wales Premier.
Funding. I could just go on and on.
Yeah, just as I was about to grill you, Gladys Berejiklian is up, so perfect segue.
Okay.
Gladys Berejiklian standing up there, New South Wales Premier, to address this testimony she provided to ICAC today.
My life. I'm an extremely private person.
And then later on in the afternoon, we heard from the Premier herself.
So what did the Premier say?
She said, look, I stuffed up. But it was a personal stuff up. It was a stuff up in my personal life. It has. She was very clear in trying to compartmentalise what she'd done in her personal life away from anything she does as Premier.
And whilst I have made this mistake in my personal life, I intend to serve the people of New South Wales to the best of my ability. That's what I've always done. I've sacrificed my life to public office and I'm proud of that.
What did she have to say about Maguire specifically?
Look, she was pretty scathing, to be honest. She, for a lot of the press conference, refused to say his name. She just kept referring to him as this person rather than Darryl Maguire.
And I will, trust now is a big issue for me because I thought that I could trust him. I knew him for a long time.
You know, she said she felt betrayed, her trust had been broken.
Well, the relationship wasn't of sufficient status for me to talk to anybody about it.
She also made some sort of unflattering characterizations of her relationship with him, saying, you know,
I didn't even talk to my family about it because it wasn't of a sufficient status and I wasn't sure about its future, to be honest, and these are very difficult things to talk about.
Oof.
Yeah, so look, you know, I think no love lost there. She said, you know, that she kept the relationship going after the scandal of 2018 because she kind of felt bad for him, I guess.
Put yourself in my position. I'd known him for 15 years. He lost his career, his friends. He lost everything and he was in a very dark place and I didn't feel that I could stop being his friend during that time, rightly or wrongly.
You know, she said he just had a death in the family and, you know, she wanted to stick around for compassionate reasons.
And it's fair to say that a number of people were approached in government, a number of public servants were approached, and the good news is...
And she says, you know, flat out, well, look, Darryl Maguire might have tried to influence me, might have tried to influence the government, but he failed.
Everybody held their ground and this person was not able to acquire anything, or his friends or his associates.
This land deal didn't go ahead, everything he was hoping to transpire didn't. And, you know, in the end, look at the outcome. Everyone within New South Wales government who needed to stand up against this kind of undue influence did stand up. And, you know, she sort of says that with some conviction and some force.
She's basically saying that this is an embarrassing situation to do with a private relationship with an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's really just hanging on to that distinction between private and public lives. You know, she's trying to say all of this was my private failings. I've learnt as a private individual, you know, now that, you know, I need to judge people better. I can't trust people.
But can I say in a general statement, had I known then what I know now, of course I would have had nothing to do with him, but I did not know the extent of what he was alleged to have done.
Which is an interesting position to take, given what we know about Maguire and all of his dealings in New South Wales Parliament, and given the evidence on Monday morning was that Berejiklian knew at least partly about what he was doing.
Is that a fair argument for her to say, hey, this is my personal life. It hasn't affected my role as Premier. It hasn't affected my judgment in my professional career.
No, in a word, I would say, you know, this one falls very, very squarely in the public interest category. So here you have a sitting MP who's in a relationship with the most powerful person in the New South Wales government being paid to try and influence that government. You know, the questions around what the Premier knew of this arrangement, you know, what she did, how she interacted with Darryl Maguire. I think you can't just use the private life excuse and get out of this one. You know, this is very, very clearly in the public interest.
Mm.
I serve the people with every ounce of my body, with every ounce of my being, that I hold the office I hold with enormous privilege, and I will continue to do that.
Have you considered resigning?
She's asked straight up if she will resign or if she's considered resigning.
No, I haven't, because I haven't done anything wrong. If I had done something wrong, I would be the first one to do that. If I had done something wrong, I would be the first one to consider my position, but I haven't.
And she just says, no, I haven't, because I haven't done anything wrong. If I had done something wrong, I would be the first one to do that, but I haven't.
Now, almost a year later, Gladys Berejiklian has resigned after ICAC announced it was turning its attention to her. In a few weeks' time, ICAC will hold hearings that investigate Berejiklian's involvement in overseeing grants that Darryl Maguire had pushed for while he was a sitting MP. The ABC's 730 program has announced that Maguire had pushed for public money for two organisations in his electorate of Wagga Wagga, and that he later tried to personally benefit from those grants. The first is the Australian Clay Target Association. The second is the Riverina Conservatorium of Music. ICAC will investigate whether Berejiklian broke the law and will examine whether she breached public trust by putting herself in a position of conflict between her public duties and her personal relationship with Maguire, whether she refused to report suspected corrupt conduct by Maguire, and if she was liable for encouraging corrupt conduct by Maguire. Berejiklian continues to maintain she's done nothing wrong, but she said she must maintain the integrity of the public office.
I have made it clear on numerous occasions that if any of my ministers were the subject of allegations being investigated by an integrity agency or law enforcement, then he or she should stand aside during the course of the investigation until their name was cleared. The reason for my stance was not to have made any presumptions as to their conduct, but rather to maintain the integrity of the public office which that person has held whilst an investigation was completed. That same standard must always apply to me also as the Premier.
A decision over who will step in as the next Premier of New South Wales is expected to be made on Tuesday when the Liberals will hold a party room meeting.
Finally, thank you again for giving me the honour of being your Premier. Thank you very much.
You regret not reporting Darryl Maguire earlier, Premier.
This episode was produced by Ellen Lee Beater, Joe Koning and Jane Lee. The executive producers of Full Story are Miles Muttignoni, Gabrielle Jackson and myself, Laura Murphy-Oates. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a rating or a review. Okay, catch you tomorrow.